A reflection on Philippians 2:7, if we use the CLV version, where Christ empties himself. And that version says, "Nevertheless, empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity." And in the KJV version, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." This word empties, or no reputation, is the Greek word kinu, G2758, to make empty, that is figuratively to abase, neutralize, falsify, make of none effect, of no reputation, void, be in vain. See the KJV to see, or the KJC to see how this word is used as made void and non-effect. And it comes from G2756, kinos, which is apparently a primary word, empty, literally or figuratively, empty, in vain. And see the KJC for 18 occurrences that it's used as either vain or empty. So with that said, here are 6 points to help us understand the depth of the statement that Christ emptied himself. We'll start with the points and then go through them one by one. First, the head of Christ is God. So this word emptied, or abase, or no reputation, also reminds us of his example to us as his body, submitting to his Father. We too submit to our head, Jesus Christ, with a meek and quiet spirit. See 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Secondly, consider the first and second Adam, and verses in order to understand that Christ abased himself to be the first Adam, to show us what we are by nature, first Adam, and what we will be become because of him. He therefore decreased, he emptied himself, so that we could increase. See Titus 3, and we've got a couple of different versions below. Thirdly, Christ was created a spirit being and used by his Creator as the channel of his creation. He is the Son of God, who emptied himself from that oneness with God to bring the rest of his creation, the all in all, in that to come. Fourthly, only in the throne is the Father greater than Christ. In every other way, Christ is called the everlasting Father, equal with God. It is from this that he empties himself. Fifthly, that Christ emptied himself also means that Christ became sin, that he took on the seed of Abraham to be a son of man, to become our near kin, whose inheritance is in the saints, this body, the church. And finally, this verse, in order to understand that we are part of this permanent inheritance because of Christ, who abased himself to become mediator for us, to must put off the temporary, i.e. we all die, in order to inherit the eternal. So those are the 6 points we're going to discuss. Firstly, the head of Christ is God. So this word emptied, or abase, or no reputation, also reminds us of his example to us as his body, submitting to his Father. We too submit to our head, Jesus Christ, with a meek and quiet spirit. And here are some verses. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3. "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Colossians 1:18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 3, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversations of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on apparel. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And from Greater Than I, an article of Mike's, Christ was very careful never to exalt himself above his Father. John 10, verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 14, 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now, with the truth of these verses firmly in mind, go back to Christ's purging of the temple, where the Jews are asking Christ for a sign of who he is and by what authority he's doing this purging. Christ has just told them that the temple is my Father's house. With this scenario in mind, look at these verses, which show what is the relationship Christ has with his Father. Here is the mind of Christ as concerns this relationship. In John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. And in John 5, verses 26 and 27, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And from another article, male and female, who we are spiritually. One in Christ means one mind, one spirit, and one body. It never means that we are all the head of that body. It certainly never means that because we are all one in Christ, that therefore there's no need for us to submit to Christ in all things. There is but one head, and that head of the body is Christ, to whom the entire church is to submit. Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The second point regarding the first and second Adam. Consider these verses in order to understand that Christ abased himself to be the first man Adam, to show us what we are by nature, that first man Adam, and what we will become because of him. He therefore decreased, he emptied himself, so that we could increase. And we'll look at Titus 3 verse 5 and two other versions below. First John 3:30, he, Christ, must increase, but I, first man Adam, must decrease. And John 13 verses 15 and 16, for an example have I given you, that according as I do to you, you also may be doing. Verily, verily, I'm saying to you, a slave is not greater than his Lord, neither is an apostle greater than he who sends him. And that's from the CLV version. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And in 1 John 3 verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 5, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. set your affection on things above, i.e. second Adam stuff, not on things on the earth, the first Adam stuff. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And now Titus 3, verse 5, first in the ERV translation, he saved us because of his mercy, not because of anything good we did. Mark 10:18 says, and Jesus said unto him, why call you me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. We continue with Titus 3:5. He saved us through the washing that made us new people. He saved us by making us new through the Holy Spirit. And the BBE version says, not by works of righteousness which we did ourselves, but in the measure of his mercy, he gave us salvation through the washing of the new birth and the giving of new life in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, Christ was created a spirit being and used by his Creator as the channel of his creation. He is the Son of God, who emptied himself from that oneness with God to bring the rest of his creation, the all in all that is to come. 1 Corinthians 15:28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Ephesians 1 verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. From Mike's article entitled, Is God a Binity? Christ is identifying himself with his fellow created sons of God. And he's saying that just as the scriptures reveal that all in Christ are God's, in that same way and to that same extent, he too is the Son of God. Being created first as a spirit and being used by his Creator as the channel of his creation in no way denies that Christ was just what he called himself, the beginning of the creation of God. God tells us that he is also the Father of spirits, even though the spirit world also was brought into being through Christ. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And Hebrews 12:9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in the subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Just as Christ was the beginning of the creation of God, so Adam was the creation of Christ's creation. And the invisible things of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, are to be understood in that way. Luke 3 verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Who was that God who spoke Adam into being? John 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek has it saying the Word was toward God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And here's the CLV translation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, and God was the Word. This was in the beginning, toward God. Christ tells us that he is the beginning of the creation of God. How is it possible for Christ to be the beginning of the creation of God if God was not before the beginning? Revelation 3 verse 4, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Fourth point, only in the throne is the Father greater than Christ. In every other way, Christ is called the everlasting Father, equal with God. It is from this that he emptied himself. Genesis 40 verse 41 verse 40, "You shall be over my house, and according unto your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Only in the throne is the Father greater than Christ, we read in an article from Mike Greater Than I. In every other way, Christ is called the everlasting Father, equal with God and the Almighty. Now Christ can say, "I will raise it up," simply because the Father has given to the Son to have life within himself. Not that the Son is life, but the Son had the Father within him. Had Christ not had the Father within him, he could never have been resurrected from among the dead. But Christ did have the Father within him, and therefore it was impossible for death to hold him. John 10 verse 38, "Though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." Now have I said that Christ was or is not immortal? No, I have not. We are told to have the mind of Christ. And just look at where we are told to do so. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 11. "For let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but did empty himself, the form of a servant having taken, in the likeness of men having been made, and in the fashion having been found as a man, he humbled himself, having been obedient unto death, death even of a cross. Wherefore also God did highly exalt him, and gave to him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee may bow, of heavenlies and earthlies, and what are under the earth, and every tongue may confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And that's the YLT version. I emboldened the letters "did empty himself" in verse 7, only to show that Christ had to give up his immortality for a season, or there would be nothing being emptied. Read the paper, "Is God a Trinity?" to see how God and his Father relate to one another. Christ and his Father had this all planned before the foundation of the world. It was through Christ that the Father created the aeons. That is why Christ can be called Olam Father. The Father gave it to Christ to lay down and to take up his life. The fifth point, that Christ emptied himself, also means that Christ became sin, that he took on the seed of Abraham to be the Son of Man, to become our near kin, whose inheritance is in the saints, this body, the church. And this following excerpt is from Why Christ Had to Be Flesh of Adam, an article by Mike again. Christ was also our near kin by being made of a woman made under the law, taking not the nature of angels, taking on himself the seed of Abraham, the son of Adam, the son of God. And all of this while we were yet sinners. Romans 4 verse 25, who was delivered for, that word is dia, through, who was delivered through our offenses and was raised again through dia, our justification. I'll read it again with the word dia, who was delivered through our offenses and was raised again through our justification. In Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who, through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be, i.e. as our kinsman redeemer, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Christ's very inheritance is in the saints. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of is his inheritance in the saints. Just as ours is in him. Ephesians 1 verse 19 through 23, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. And from Revelation 1:4 study of Mike's, why are we told so many times that Christ is both the beginning and the end? The answer is that God is calling light out of darkness, not vice versa, as the Gnostics would have you believe. The answer is that Christ emptied himself and came in the flesh so that he could truthfully be the beginning Adam and the end Adam. He came in the flesh so that he could be the first Adam and the last Adam. If he was not a literal man, born of the seed of David and Abraham, and of the first Adam, then he could not possibly identify with us as such. But that is exactly what he is, was, and will be. And from part two of Revelation 1:4 study, there are seven churches with seven promises, all made to he that has an ear. It is all one church, shown by the number seven to be the complete church, with all of its strengths and weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. And finally, point number six. This verse, in order to understand that we are all a part of this permanent inheritance because of Christ, who abased himself to become mediator for us, who must put off the temporary, i.e. we all die, in order to inherit the eternal. And here's the verse, Hebrews 9, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And James wrote an email with some reflections to add that I'd like to add here. I want to thank you, Gail, for sharing this with us and taking the time to put it together. The part about no reputation, I wanted to add that Christ esteemed others better than himself by emptying himself of his divinity and came to serve, not be served, leaving us the example of how to rule and consider others above self. Below are other thoughts of the purpose for God emptying himself, such as to taste death for us, to be made a curse for us, and to reconcile us to God. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind. Let us each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was emptied and made a little lower than the angels to taste death for us, that we might share his life. Hebrews 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus was emptied to be made a curse for us, so that we could receive the promise of the Spirit. Galatians 3 verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice that it is Christ who was in the form of God, but emptied himself and became in the form of a man, a servant. Philippians 2 verses 6 and 7, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was emptied to reconcile us to God, so that now we can be saved by his life and make atonement possible. Ephesians 2 verses 15 and 16, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And Romans 5 verses 6 through 21. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commands his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. For not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 1, verses 20 through 22, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8 through 21, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that all would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. Signed, James. I especially love the point of reconciliation. Twain, one man, so making peace. That is the hope and promise of it, and the eagle view of it too. Thank you very much. And one last reflection. It's from Georgie, who writes, "This is so thoroughly beautiful. This emptying out, it's a little like tears in a bottle." From Psalms 56, verse 8, "Record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" So this whole psalm is about how we empty out the old man in us, dying daily as Christ increases. And I just want to read that whole psalm, Psalm 56. It's only 13 verses long. "To the chief musician upon Jonah Thelemrekokim, Michim of David, when the Philistines took him to Gath, took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O you Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrestle my words. all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps, when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In your anger, cast down the people, O God. You tell my wanderings, you put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?